So we have informative reports I'm going to call Heidi to the podium for their presentation.
Hi. So I'm on site. I'm not familiar with the geofield, so the Plant-Minded Grade Foundation is complete. So they've actually provided the off-site. Off-site utilities, including storm sewers, sanitary sewers, and water lines, are complete. The tie into the street, and it's actually water flowing. And so right now, we're finished grading. Specifically the roadways, and we're putting in temporary roads basically from north to south and also over the laydown areas. And the grade, some of the grading, the lawn areas are finishing. They're actually spreading topsoil in areas that won't be affected by curbs or anything like that. But that'll be done later, at the end of the project. But they are actually spreading some topsoil now. There won't be screening or anything like that, we're spreading it, and then our 32-way contract will actually do screening offset. That's pretty much where we are, and as you know, we received bids on the 20th in the process, so we're doing that. I think these guys are as far as saying, but we're doing that right now. Any more questions we have?
This is a question
about...
A question. Rich, one of the questions that we get is the schedule. So as far as you said, the geo piers, the ram aggregate piers are in, utilities, and so when you're looking at schedule, are we on schedule?
Well, as you know, we just bid, so we're in the process of awarding the contracts. The next phase or the next activity will be the foundations or the concrete. And we're looking right now to mobilize towards the end of April.
Okay.
But that's what our schedule is showing right now for the concrete. We should be.
Okay, good. Thank you.
That was one of the first reviews that we did was concrete. So we should be aligned
with that. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Do you have control?
I do.
Mr.
Gagnon? Yeah, I would like to go into, use most of my report to go into presentation, like Rich said, use this microphone and I'll stand up hopefully if I don't drift out. We did receive bids, and one of the things we wanted to address is how those bids are coming in. To do that, we're going to go through multiple. I'm wondering if this is like a typical area where Verizon cuts out everywhere. It is? Okay. So I'll stand here and do it. So how can you stand still very well? So I'm just going to go through the history of the project because this is good to kind of put all these puzzle pieces together because really when you do it, it's a pretty interesting story. So if you want to go ahead and hit that first one. One more, please. Okay, so in our strategic plan, the goal was to have that 21st century learning environment where form follows flexible function and accommodates safety, curriculum, and technology. In addition to our current elementary school project, we still have the three existing schools that obviously will remain after this project is completed. So I'm going to kind of touch on this whole plan and put some pieces together for you. Go ahead, Tom.
It throws up.
It's on this computer. I can vouch for it. The next slide.
It's the Doppler effect.
Yeah.
Yes, I can see it starting to come through. Are we almost?
Oh, yes. We need the technology.
Okay. Here we go. Okay, so some of the targets that we set to achieve this goal, we're looking at our facilities 2019-2020 and beyond. The other thing we had to really focus on was catch-up. This is having a dedicated permanent improvement That has not happened. So we've had to catch up from a lot of schedules that haven't been maintained over the years. And also we need to look at a plan for maintenance, repairs, enhancements, equipment, and upgrades, and also addressing our old elementary schools as we begin to raise those. And one of the things that the other part that we had is we wanted to achieve this goal without impacting the general fund. Okay, that's better. So we had three resources, primary resources available. We had the previous bond issue as well as the legal settlements from that issue, E-rates, and also the current bond permanent improvement levy. So I wanted to go through these because back when this project started, so looking at specifically the bond and the permanent improvement levy, in 2016, the state of Ohio put out construction what they call the opinion of probable cost. And in 2016, when we looked at an elementary school, they said the cost per square foot should be around $222.25. So when you look at the $222.25 times the size of our project, you're looking at $33.6 million, which translated from levy terms to us of 1.3 mils. Now, if you remember when we did the levy PI, a major point that we, and I just took this off on YouTube today, this video is still on, so you can look at it. But when we were going out for issue 121, we had 2.4 mils expire. And so the plan was to put on 2.1 mils so that we were able to complete this project without raising taxes. So that was the original goal, setting it at 2.1 mils. Now, naturally, the very, very first proposal of this was to have a bond issue at the 1.3 mils based on the figure that I showed before, and to do a permanent improvement levy of 1 mil. Now, when what I put under the bond issue is when Mr. Hopkins came in and was looking at this and evaluating this for us, he was saying he just completed a building project in Brooklyn. And one of the things he indicated was that, that $222 is what the state says, but that's an average across Ohio. Cuyahoga County is a little more expensive to build than other counties throughout Ohio. The state of Ohio kind of averages that out. So, that budget was tight from the beginning. So when we're looking at the permanent improvement levy, it was originally at 1 mil, and the thing that we were trying to achieve was to complete this without raising taxes. Now the 1 mil, so the original 1 mil recommendation didn't take into account the homestead rollback. So if we would have kept it at 1 mil, then we actually would have raised taxes slightly. So if you notice that the permanent improvement levy that we actually went to the ballot with was reduced to 0.8 mil. Now also if you notice, the decision was to reduce the permanent improvement levy and not the bond issue, because we knew that was a tight figure at the beginning. Go ahead. So state of Ohio came out again with the opinion of probable cost, and from 2016 to 2017, they raised the cost per square foot at 200. They went from $222 to $230. And when you look at that extra $8 per square foot, you're looking at about 1.25, so almost $1.3 million difference just in that adjustment alone from the state of Ohio. Go ahead. So what did we do? So, like I said, from the beginning we knew that the bond issue was going to be tight. So the first thing we did is we started planning immediately after the levy passed. We still didn't even secure the site yet. We were still negotiating with the city to obtain the Center Ridge site, but we started planning. The other thing we did was we knew that there were other sites that we needed to maintain. And that was a high school, Lee Burnson Middle School, DIS, Dover Intermediate School, one of these acronyms, and the transportation department. And then thirdly, we're focusing on the bond PI. So Well, you know, I want to just be clear that the planning was aggressive, but it was thorough. For those of you who went through the process with us, we had kitchen workers, we had custodians, we had every grade level of teacher that was going to be in there, we had special ed specials, pretty much everybody who was going to touch that building really was involved in this planning process, and we really liked that design. But since we stayed on a good track with that, we got out to bid early. And one of the things you're going to see is that a lot of the schools out there right now who passed when we passed, if they're not out to bid, it's going to be a tough go. So we were one of the first to get out in the area. And the reason that that's important is over $1 billion passed when we did. So when you look at the market from when we passed in November of 2016, wasn't it? And there were a lot of bond issues. For example, Elyria, Amherst, Berea, I'm trying to think of some other areas, but there was a lot that passed. So it's going to be a very competitive market. The other thing we were able to do was try and get ahead of steel and concrete. Concrete is costs are up, and steel costs are up too. I don't know the market well enough to tell you if it's a direct impact. I'll let some of the experts do of the proposed tariffs that were coming on steel. But one of the things we wanted to do was get out ahead of that. The other thing that it put us in a position for is we were able to get our permits approved early. For example, one of the permits that we had approved was our foundation permit. The reason that that's important is we're right on the cusp of, we were in our planning, right on the cusp of what's being called a storm shelter, and something that FEMA had come out and, I think it was FEMA, is it FEMA? So FEMA came out and required that. So we were far enough on a project where we already had a foundation approved. So that didn't put us in that spot. But that particular addition alone, we were estimating over $500,000 that we added to the budget for that. Go ahead. So here's the other thing again. I mentioned that there was the previous bond issue as well as the legal settlements. So the next thing we did is we took this and we focused on the existing schools, the schools that were going to be open after the elementary schools closed. And you're going to see that a lot of these have already happened, and we're continuing to do those through the summer. So at DIS, we had the air handler installed, which is air conditioning and some ductwork going up through the building. The gym floor has been redone. The bleachers, tore down the bleachers on that top section, and also the gym, and we're able to put new bleachers in there. And this summer, we're working on some flooring in DIS for some tiles that are coming up. The sidewalk behind Weber-Emerson Middle School, connecting the campus to Bassett Road. Also, this started, when I say that, some of the legal settlements. One of the other things that was resolved as we were coming in, it's already in process, was the floors. If you remember the floors of the high school with the polished concrete, they've been completely redone. We also, this year, reinstalled curbs. There are areas that were, the curbs were value engineered out, and we were able to put those back in with some money that was left there. We're looking at this summer to use that money to also replace our track at the high school. If you've been to the track, there are parts where you actually can lift up. It's not a good product for our people to use. That can be replaced this summer. We're also targeting the safety of the PA system to really complete that project because we have a beautiful stadium that a lot of people put time, or field that a lot of people put time and efforts and money into. We're now going to finish off that area there. Another area that you may not notice but was a big deal to us was the parking lot range. That was completed with these funds. And this summer we also have plans for safety improvements for high school DIS and LBMS. Really not going to say publicly what those specific things are, but we are putting some things in that's looking to harden the schools a little bit more than they currently are. In transportation, this was another area that was neglected, right, Sandy? And, you know, we haven't had a new bus in about a decade. And so this year we were able to bring in 11 buses, which is really phenomenal. Utilize a lease purchase option against that PM to be able to do that. We brought in two vans, the smaller vans that we use to transport fewer students. We needed two additional ones. And we also got a salt truck. It's a used salt truck, but it's in really good condition, and we like it a lot. Technology-wise, we also utilize some of the EI funding as well as E-Rate. So back to DIS, LBMS, and the high school, we invested $240,000 in upgrades, primarily wireless and infrastructure. That happened mostly in those three buildings. There were some projects that were done here, but they were limited because obviously we were going to be taking the buildings offline soon. And the nice thing about that is $90,000, so 40% of that was reimbursed through the E-Rate program. So we invested $150,000, an additional $90,000 was reimbursed by E-Rate. So why mechanism? Well, one of the things that we wanted to do is as we were playing that catch up, we were behind in many ways, and we needed to try and quickly get back on track. So when we opened up in 2019-2020, when we opened up the new elementary school, we also wanted our other buildings and transportation department to be in good shape as well. We didn't want it to just be about the elementary. So we think we did a nice job of balancing that and put us in a nice position for where we are now. So when we look at the high school, LBMS, and transportation, we're really in a position for general maintenance. You know, some things that happen, we'll address them. We're also focusing in our schools with the infrastructure being built, we're able to look at technology improvements. And then finally, we want to get on a purchase schedule. We don't want to be in a situation again where we purchase a bus every 10 years we buy 11 buses and do that. It's just not a smart thing to do. So we want to get on a purchase schedule for that, as well as Dave Grossfar has done a great job when he's done this permanent improvement planning, where he's got a schedule set aside. So, you know, 20 years from now, we need to replace the high school roof. We're not being pitched with that bill, you know, 20 years from now, we're setting aside money annually. So when we get on those purchase schedules and saving schedules, to anticipate those costs later. So we're really putting ourselves in a position to that. It also helps us with the bond PI. So what we're able to do now is now that we've established those funds to solidify what we're doing at the middle school, the high school, the urban center, and transportation, we're able to take that bond PI that we passed and really focus on the new elementary school. The other part is when I said we knew that what we set the bond for was tight, since we focused those funds from the previous bond issue as well as some legal settlements, since we set those and used those for those projects, we've been able to set aside $1 million of PI so far for this current project. And it also put us in the best possible position in a volatile building market. And that's something that, is it to you guys or is it to me? Let's see if I have another slide. Okay, we'll go back on. So if I can take and talk a little bit about the volatile market, you know that we have David Riley and some architect and some construction folks here. I don't know if any of you've seen over the weekend, they had some articles, I think Lorain County started to post some, where, and I think it was in Leary this weekend, where they actually went to market for a $120 million project, and they had indicated to their community that they were going to build 5 schools. But then when all the construction and true building costs came back, they proposed maybe we can only build 3, leaving out some parts of the community without a school that really caused a lot of issues. And so what we're seeing is a very volatile market, very different than what we saw 2 years ago as we were doing the plan. Dave, you want to touch on that a little bit? Talk about some of the trends that we're seeing? You want this?
Oh, got a red dot. That's good.
Red is good?
Red.
Okay. A couple of things. I represent, obviously, I'm your construction council. I specialize in school construction in particular, and I represent just within the conference. Olmsted Falls is in the middle of the project. Berea is in the middle of the project. Olmsted Falls board, probably about 2 months ago, they're doing a slightly different project. They're adding to their existing high school. They're building a very large science classroom wing. They're doing an addition to the band complex, and then they're building some additional, what we might call flexible tent classrooms. And their board, the project is about $22 million to begin with, and they actually went out and have already had to do additional financing of $1.6 million for the lease purchase. So they're about 7 to 8% over in order, and that's without, obviously they went through, they didn't get all that they wanted, and we're still 7 to 8% in terms of going out and doing additional financing. Berea has already been in the paper, they went out, they're doing a new high school. They've already announced they're not going to be able to afford the swimming pool, which was the most public item that got some attention for them at the board meeting, and community members were a little upset that they thought they were going for a pool and then they weren't able to get one. Additionally, Little Big East Lake, which was a little bit ahead of the curve of everybody, they had passed the year before in November of 2015. They're also going out to do additional financing to make sure they have enough money. Their project's a lot larger. They're at about $125 million. Two new high schools, elementary school, and they're struggling in the same environment to get all that they thought, all that they think they need for their student body. Additionally, Riverside, which is Painesville Township, the far eastern edge of Lake County, somewhat similar to Westlake in that they're building two 75,000 square foot elementary schools, so they're also building about 150,000 square feet of elementary space, and they're also looking to do a financing in order to get what they think they need to adequately deal with or provide a school to address their students' needs. So what we're seeing all over this Northeast Ohio region, and it isn't just every project I touch. It's not like the commonality I am involved. I don't think I am causal in this. I'm just the attorney. I don't design anything. I don't build anything. But everybody is struggling with budgets. A couple of things that have happened. First off, there was $1 billion passed. So everybody's struggling with trying to get workers for their projects. Glazers to put the windows in. There's only so many in the region, and we're all fighting for the same ones. Masonry. Another, and again, to kind of give you the rough math, if you assume there's $100 million of construction, about 15% of that tends to be masonry in schools. And you can just see it in the gym. The brick wall all the way around is the common thing you build because it's very hard for children to break it. They run into it, the wall will win. I've done this myself, verifiable, the wall wins. But just if you do $1 billion, that's 150 million rough numbers of masonry. About half of that is the block and the work, the equipment that goes with it, and about half of that is labor. So if you wind up with $75 million of masons, you need about a million man hours of masons to complete that work. They make about $75 an hour when we factor in all the benefits. Very rough numbers. I mean, you can call me and double check, and I might be off a dollar or two, but in very rough numbers, a million man hours. You get about 2,000 man hours a year if you can work all year long, and masons generally don't work in the winter. Because when it's cold outside, it just doesn't work as well unless you attempt to build in the heat, and that adds more cost. So there's going to be a real demand for folks. And what we're starting to see now is the number one way of lowering your price in construction is to have competition in the market. The more bidders that step up to bid your project, the lower your price is going to be. What we're seeing is we're not getting the number of bidders that we used to see. If this project was bid 2 years ago, we'd have five masons bidding. You might have six or seven mechanical contractors and electrical contractors. You're just not seeing that out there in the marketplace because they're busy. They've already done enough. They've already filled their plate and they can't do any more. So that's a real challenge. Without doubt, the recent talks tariffs, not only has it hurt everyone's 403B or 401K or SEP, whatever your retirement plan is, if you check after the market dropped, I think 1,200 points or so,
I didn't check, I was afraid, because that might tell me I have to work another day. But all of a sudden, you know, everything dropped. That has had a tremendous effect on the market. Steel prices are going up. That impacts concrete as well, because you have steel with the rebar that reinforces the concrete. When the president announced tariffs on aluminum, that impacts your window cost, that impacts your door cost. Even though public entities usually use U.S. steel, the problem is that steel manufacturer knows foreign steel just jumps, so they raise all their prices. So there's a lot going on in terms of the market overall. We saw a lot of this coming. We knew we were going to be in a tight market for labor, so the strategy we developed very early on was to put ourselves in a position where we could start our site work and some of our site utilities early. The resolution you have before you addresses steel and concrete. Those are long lead items. We have to get our steel into the mill for an order. This isn't, we don't go to Home Depot and say, can we get some of the steel pieces we need? They have to fabricate specially for the project. And before that happens, the steel erector, they hire an engineer to take what our structural engineer has done, working on behalf with the architect, and they engage in what's called submittals. And they'll submit to the structural engineer, this is how we're going to achieve your intent. You can do that through welding, you can do that through anchor bolts. There's different ways to get to that result, and they're going to present it to the architect. This is our solution package. It'll go to the architect, and he's going to hand it right away to the structural engineer and say, is this right? And so there's a back and forth that takes a little bit of time, and then that mill order's got to get placed to be fabricated to show up on site when we need it. And so we need to get the concrete done to be ready for that steel when the time comes, and then have our steel and the acuity get fabricated, because what you're already hearing from some of these mills is, I don't know if we can make your schedule. Because everybody's fighting to get their steel going. So even though we haven't finalized all of our issues with the construction manager at risk, ICON, we are asking the board to approve two limited packages. One is the concrete and one is the structural steel, so they can get ahead on those items, and we can kind of dot our I's and cross our T's on the rest of the contract. Probably in about 2 weeks we'll sit down and do that, as well as giving them a chance to talk to all the vendors who have submitted proposals to them to see if there's ways we can save money. So we want to give some time before we come to the board and say, here's the total cost, for them to talk to the mechanical contractor and say, what are your ideas for saving money? The electrical contractor, all those folks to give a chance if they saw something that they might have a better mousetrap to do. Those will come back to the architect. Nothing will be done. Nothing will be quote unquote cheapened or changed unless the architect agrees that that's a better idea. And there might be some different ways to solve the problem. With that, I can do an hour.
Thank you, David. I appreciate it. So let's talk about the financial side of this now and how it affects us directly. One of the things that from the beginning of our project here, we had put together a relatively conservative 90% of our bond issue, or $30,300,000 set aside for what is referred to as hard costs. These are the costs directly associated with the construction manager and the building of the building itself. As we worked with our architects and construction manager, our projections from the beginning of this project have really always come in higher than what we had anticipated as the 90%. Very much so due to the conversation that Mr. Riley just had here explaining why we're seeing these types of things. So from the very beginning of this, we've seen a variations of anywhere from $2.5 million to almost $3.9 million. Now for our district here, we took in a bond sale. The original bond sale was $33.63 million. And since these two different sales, we did one in December of 16 and then in March of 17, we've earned almost $321,000 in interest to date. That puts us cash on hand, or originally cash on hand of $33.95 million. Now, recently, I believe Mr. Dopaka had mentioned it, we did have bids come in earlier this week. And the bids came in at a, and I say projected hard cost, but the bids came in at the hard cost of $34,020,861. Additionally, we have about $2.5 million in projected soft costs. Soft costs include the architect and engineer, city fees, as well as a testing agency, and commissioning, as well as some other miscellaneous costs. So we're projecting the cost to be about $36.5 million, a little over $36.5 million, or a variation of about $2.57 million. Now, what else do we have available to us? We do have a permanent improvement fund that was passed alongside the bond issue in November of 16. That generates $1.1 million annually. Additionally, because we knew the project would be very, very tight, we have squirreled away approximately $1 million, and we have about $1 million cash on hand in the PI fund. Furthermore, I project about another $380,000, or a total of $700,000 in interest over the life of the project. And we do have some financing available to us: lease purchase, additional bond, or a TAN, a tax anticipatory note. Ultimately, what this comes down to for us is what I would recommend to the board. And tonight we're a little ahead of ourselves, but we wanted to make sure you have the full information before you vote on the concrete and structural steel. We're working along with our architect, Lesko, and our construction manager, Icon, to come together with a GMP, a guaranteed maximum price. And we expect that to happen in at one of the April board meetings. Ultimately, we're going to be looking for a bond issue, or I'm sorry, a construction GMP of around that $34 million. But without cash on hand, I can't certify that we would be able to sign that GMP. So what I'm asking the board to consider is utilizing the $1 million that we've already set aside in the PI fund for purchase in the building project. And really, these are purchases that we talked about like in October, where we're making investments into the building with the PI. This isn't money just going into for buying us extra space. It's actually investments, such as aluminum windows instead of Pella windows, aluminum clad that you might find in a home. LED lighting that would be more long-term efficient, as well as more efficient HVAC units. At this time, I would advise the board to remove the tech equipment and the FF&E, the furniture, fixtures, and equipment, until next calendar year, which is approximately $1.6 million. Next calendar year, we would then add that back in through the CMR's GMP, and we would finance only the necessary funds. And the reason I say the necessary funds is because at that time, we'll have a better idea of where we have interest money coming in, and we also have contingency built into the building project under the CMR contract. And while we never count on that money coming back to the district, if it's not used, it does come back to the district. And we would be able to use that to offset the cost of FF&E as well as tech purchases. I'm going to hand it back over to Mr. Goddard.